Iqra Productions presents Importance of Salah by Sidi Muhammad Saleem.
صدق الله العظيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا وشفينا وحبيبنا وحبيب عبدنا ومولانا محمد مبارك وسلم My dear sisters of Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated in the Holy Quran that of course Allah has made obligatory namaz, salat upon every Muslim within its allocated time. Inshallah, today we will talk about the importance of namaz and the virtues of namaz and the difficulties for those people who do not pray namaz. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He created this world, He then, after a short while, created animals, He created jinn, He created the angels, and then finally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to create mankind. Therefore He made Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, and then He said to the angels that I am going to create a khalifa of mine to live on the earth. The angels replied, Ya Allah, do we not pray to You? Ya Allah, do we not worship You? Why are You going to create mankind? Because previous to mankind, the jinn have been fighting amongst themselves, they have been causing great havoc, they have been disobeying Your command. Therefore, surely, mankind will do the same. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says that I know better. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then sent His messengers down to guide mankind onto the straight path, onto the path which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen as the path which will gain Jannah. You heard last week some of the beauties of Jannah, and it has been specifically created for those people, for those human beings who listen to the messengers of Allah and they bring faith upon the messenger of the time. Alhamdulillah, all praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have been sent here as the ummatis, the followers of Huzur sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who is the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, when we look in today's society, or when we look towards mankind, we see various different sins that take place. We see people committing things which they should not be doing, and even worse, committing completely strictly unforbidden acts. Therefore, I ask myself the question that how can one gain the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how can one please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and also please the beloved messenger of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala therefore decided specifically for the ummatis of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that He will give them a gift. A gift that will guide them. A gift that will show them the straight path. A gift that will mean that they will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and therefore gain Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will and desire. The gift was given on one particular night. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ascended upon the heavens and he went to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After he saw Jannah, after he saw Jahannam, and after he had dialogue with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah then therefore gave him a gift. He said to him that, O beloved messenger of Allah, I give you a present to give to mankind. And the present is 50 namaz per day. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam descended down the heaven, and on the third or the fourth heaven, he met Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, what gift have you been given? The Prophet replies, I have been given the gift of 50 namaz. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam says, there is no way that your ummah will pray that namaz. For my ummah never used to pray anything like that. He therefore sends Hazrat Hudud sallallahu alayhi wasallam back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then has 5 namaz reduced to 45. He comes down, the same dialogue occurs between Hazrat Musa alayhi salam and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he goes back up to the heavens and he has them reduced. Eventually, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes down with 5 namaz per day. And Hazrat Musa alayhi salam asks the same question, "O beloved Messenger of Allah, how many namaz have you brought now?" He replies, "I have brought 5 times namaz per day for the ummah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam." Hazrat Musa alayhi salam replies, "They will not follow that. They will not be able to do that." Huzur sallallahu alayhi wasallam then replies that, "I now feel ashamed of going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and having them reduced even more. I feel ashamed." One thing he did not say, and that was that, "I cannot get these reduced anymore." He says, "I feel ashamed of having these reduced anymore." Therefore, he comes down and he tells the Sahaba Ikram, the beloved companions, that, "I have been given this gift, and therefore namaz has been made obligatory upon every Muslim man and woman." The Sahaba Ikram inquire about what had happened, and the Messenger of Allah says that, "I was given 50 namaz. However, because of the difficulty of my future ummah, because the difficulty of my ummah and they will not be able to perform that task, I therefore reduced it and I had it reduced up to 5 namaz." The first question the Sahaba Ikram asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that was, "O beloved Messenger of Allah, we would sacrifice our life for you. We will sacrifice our worship. We will sacrifice everything for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you not think we would sacrifice our time for 50 namaz a day and gain the virtues of namaz?" The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled and he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's statement does not change. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, "Take these 5 namaz, and however I will reward them with the 50 namaz." The reward will not be reduced, only the namaz will be reduced. And therefore, when we pray namaz, we are actually praying 1/10. And therefore we are gaining 10 times the reward of praying the namaz. Therefore, when you pray 5 times namaz a day, you gain 50 times namaz. Namaz has been made obligatory upon every man and woman, every Muslim man and woman. Why make it obligatory? Why not make it voluntarily? I thought to myself, surely if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made it voluntarily, then the position would be the same today. The position today when you look in our masjid, they are empty. The position today when you go towards any function, the women are too busy in their day-to-day lives that they do not have time for namaz. They do not even think about its obligation. Remember, my dear sisters of Islam, it is farz upon every man and woman, every Muslim man and woman. Farz. And what does farz mean? Farz means a direct command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot have a choice. You cannot turn around and say, "I will pray it if I wish so. I won't pray it if I don't wish so." It is farz upon you, an obligation. And I ask the question, how many times has it been stated in the Quran? How many times has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked to us about namaz? Surely, if he talked to us once in the Quran, it would have still been first. If he had told us twice in the Quran, it would have still been first. If he had told us a dozen times, it would have remained first. However, the most action of all that has been reiterated again and again in the Holy Quran is about Salat. And do you know how many times it has been mentioned in the Quran? Not 100 times, not 200 times. It has been mentioned 700 times in the Holy Quran. Not one more act has been mentioned anywhere near the equivalent time of Salat. Why? Because when you say to a child, "Go and do this for me," you say, "Don't forget, I told you to do this for me." You say, "Don't forget, I told you to do this for me." After 3 times, the child will turn and say, I know, I will do that." However, if you tell them 700 times, it will be embedded in their brain, and they would do that. However, unfortunately, the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has seemed to have forgotten that responsibility. Namaz completely wipes out your small sins. Hazrat Abu Dharr Ghaffari radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates the hadith. He says the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once it was a windy day, it was an autumn time and the leaves were falling off the tree. He went up to a tree, he got hold of 2 branches and he shook the branches. The leaves came tumbling down. He then says, "O my companion, This would happen to the sins of a Muslim man and woman if they prayed namaz 5 times a day. Their sins would fall the same way as the leaves have fallen today from the tree. And yet, we continue to commit our sins, but we forget the responsibility of namaz. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, here's a gift for you. Take this gift and I will forgive your sins. Take this gift and remember me and I will give you paradise. However, we are saying we do not want that gift. Our actions are saying we do not want that gift. And yet, when the time comes for your exam, when the time comes for something important, you will lift your hands and you will pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a request. You say, Ya Allah, please accept my dua. Let me tell you, if someone gave you a gift and you threw that gift away, then you went to ask for something else, do you expect them, that person, to give you something else? He will say to you, or she will say to you, I gave you a gift, you threw that gift away and you now want something more? What consideration did you have for my gift? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated that those people who do not pray namaz, then their dua is not accepted. The dua will never be accepted if they refuse to perform namaz 5 times a day. The namaz that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us as a gift is in its own right such a unique worship that, tell me, fasting is also worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To give zakah is also worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is also obligatory. To perform the Hajj Baytullah is also farz upon every Muslim man and woman who has the money to do that. However, why is Salat different? Because when you compare fasting, then the non-Muslims also have a form of fasting. They also fast in a different way to us. However, they do fast. When you look at giving charity, then the non-Muslims also give charity towards the poor. When you look at performing pilgrimage, the non-Muslims also perform pilgrimage. However, what do the non-Muslims not do, which the Muslims do, and that is to pray the namaz. That is to pray the namaz. Once a Muslim man or woman says Allahu Akbar, they are completely disconnected from the rest of the world. Eating, which is allowed. Drinking, which is allowed. Talking, which is allowed. Walking, which is allowed. As soon as you say Allahu Akbar, your eating becomes haram. Your drinking becomes haram. Your talking becomes haram. Your walking becomes haram. Because your connection now is directly with the Creator. The creation's connection is directly with the Creator. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's beloved messenger says that when a person prays namaz, his sins are put on his shoulders, or her sins are put on his shoulders. As soon as that person goes into ruku, the sins fall to the ground. The sins are forgiven. And that is why Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if there was a stream of water outside your house and you were to bathe in it 5 times a day, tell me, would your body become dirty? The answer the companion gave was, of course not, your beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How can a person become dirty if he has a bath 5 times a day? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then says, that is in the same way that namaz completely cleans your sins out. If you pray namaz, once a person prays Fajr namaz and then he prays Zuhr namaz, the sins between the two namazes are forgiven. Once a person prays Asr namaz, after the Zuhr namaz, the sins between the two namazes are forgiven. Especially the Isha and the Fajr namaz, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that those hypocrites, those people who are not Muslims, those people who will be at the bottom of the fire of hell, those people, the munafiqs, for them, the Isha namaz and the Fajr namaz is a burden. For the munafiqs, it is a burden. And therefore, it is a sign of a munafiq, a sign of a hypocrite, if Isha and Fajr namaz is a burden upon you. But when a person prays Isha namaz, and when a person prays Fajr namaz, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that person that prays Isha namaz and then prays Fajr namaz, then they will gain the same reward as if they have been standing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the whole night. As if they have been worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the whole night by praying them to namaz. And therefore, we look at today. The time comes, we do not even have that 10 or 15 minutes to perform wudu. The wudu is the key to namaz. And what is the namaz the key for? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that on the day of judgment, the first question that will be asked will be, what about your namaz? The accounting that you will have to give on the day of judgment will be about your namaz. If your accounting is perfected, if your accounting is acceptable, then every other action will become easy for you. And then that will be your key into Jannah. The namaz will be the key into Jannah. And today, namaz is completely forgotten about. How can you expect the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you forget namaz? Let me tell you, a woman came to Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. The woman was a bad woman and she performed a sin. She then had a child and she strangled the child and killed the child. She says to Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, O Musa ala nabiyana, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive my sins. He says, what have you done? She tells him. Then she says that because I was so ashamed of my sin, I had a child and I killed the child. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam becomes angry. He says, get out from here. You will not be forgiven. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never forgive you, for you have taken a life of an innocent child. Straight away, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam is descended. Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam says to Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, O Musa, do you know that there is a sin even worse than that? There is a sin that is even worse than what this woman has done. And that sin is when a person purposely misses namaz. When a person purposely misses namaz, even one namaz, my dear sisters of Islam, the accounting has been stated that it will be 80 years in the fire of Jahannam for missing one namaz deliberately. 80 years. But 1 year is not the same as 1 year here. Because 1 day will be the same as 50,000 years. Therefore, the ulama kiram say that approximately 20 million years for missing one namaz deliberately in the fire of hell. That is the punishment for a person who misses just one namaz. And it is regarding that I want to tell you a hadith. Hazrat Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi states a hadith. He says that after the accounting has been performed, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after the day of judgment, states the hadith. He says that Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam will be going past Jannah and then he will go past Jahannam. And in Jahannam he will see a person. The person's face will be shining. His hands will be shining. However, he will be given severe punishment. He will ask this person, who are you? The person will say, I do not know who I am. I have been here for at least 50,000 years. Then Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam will say, what was the sin that you have committed? He says, I cannot remember. He then says that whose ummah do you belong to? He says, I do not know who my Nabi is. But by looking at his face and his hands, Hazrat Jibreel salam goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he says, Ya Allah, I want to give the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a gift today. And I am going to visit the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he will ask me, what gift have you brought me? Ya Allah, I ask your permission that I take this person out of Jahannam and I take him to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, go to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If he says to you, what gift have you brought me? Then take this person with you. He goes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says, salam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replies to the salam and then he says, what gift have you brought me? Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam replies, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have seen one of your ummatis in Jahannam. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam straight away starts getting worried. He says, I cannot remain in Jannah whilst one of my ummatis is in Jahannam. I cannot feel the pain of my ummati, my follower. He says, go and bring that person to me. Hazrat Jibreel alaihi wasallam goes and brings that person. That person who has been in there for 50,000 years is brought to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to Jibreel alaihi wasallam, Ya Jibreel, do you know why this person was in Jahannam? The reason why this person was in Jahannam is because one day he deliberately missed one namaz. One day. He regularly used to pray namaz, but on one occasion he specifically deliberately missed one namaz. And therefore, that is his punishment. However, not one day for us, it's every day. Roger slept in your bed, nice warm bed, and you think to yourself, I'm not getting up. Just for that small sacrifice, do you know the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the day of judgment, the angels will ask him. They will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will see a group of people going past, and their faces will be shining like the midday sun. The angels will say, are these a group of prophets? Or are these a group of angels? They will ask, who are you? The people will say, we are the ummati of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we used to perform salat, we used to perform namaz. The angels will ask, what was the position of your namaz? They used to say that we used to perform wudu and we used to be in the masjid before the azan was called. Then you will see a second group of people. The second group of people's face will be shining like the bright moon. Again, the same question will be asked. The people will reply, we used to perform salat we used to perform our wudu and then enter the masjid after azan. A third people, group of people will be seen, and the third people's group of face will be shining like the shining star. And the angels will ask the same question, and the people will reply, we used to, after hearing the azan, perform the wudu and then go into the masjid. The reward will be that much. For women, the reward will be that they will go into the corner of the allocated place that they have in their homes, and they will pray namaz there. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you pray namaz, I will accept all your du'as. If you pray namaz, I will forgive all your sins. Let me tell you a specific situation. During the time of Bani Israel, that is the time before Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was this woman. And this woman was a very pious woman, and she always used to pray namaz. However, her husband was an evil person, and he used to tease her, he used to beat her, and deliberately make life difficult for her, but she never used to miss namaz. So one day, he brings her a small gift, deliberately, so that he could trip her, he could trap her. He says, so here's such and such a gift, keep hold of that gift, and when I ask for it, return it to me. Then at night time, he takes that gift quietly, and then he goes outside and he throws it into a river. And he says to himself, today I will show her. This woman prays namaz, and after namaz, she asks for the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then, the next morning, the husband, goes to the market and he buys a fish. And then he takes it home and he says to his wife, go and cook this fish. She cuts the fish open and she finds the gift that the husband has thrown into the river. She puts it to the side, she understands what the husband had done. Then when the time comes, the husband comes back to her and says, where's the gift that I gave you? Give it back to me. She gives the gift back to him. He is astonished. How did you get hold of this gift? He then grabs hold of her and he throws her into the fire. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cools the fire because of the time, the dedication that he had for namaz, and she is not burned in the fire. And she is protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the same way, we will be protected on the Day of Judgment if we regularly pray namaz. Do you want to know how the Sahaba kiram used to pray namaz? Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to pray namaz in such a manner that every time he used to perform Allahu Akbar, he then was so involved in his namaz that he did not even understand what was going past by him, what was happening around him, because he was in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to pray namaz in such a way that when a verse of the ayah which said something about the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to come, he used to cry so much that on occasion he used to be... And there was a time during the reign of Hazrat Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, during the Khilafah of Hazrat Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and it was his last day. He went into Fajr namaz. He leads the salat. He says Allahu Akbar. And a kafir is hiding behind the mihrab. As soon as Hazrat Farooq Azam says Allahu Akbar, the kafir comes out and he stabs Hazrat Farooq Azam 6 times. And then, while he is running away, he stabs a couple of other Sahaba-i Kiram. And then he is caught. He himself commits suicide. Hazrat Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala falls to the floor, blood gushing out of him. The Sahaba-i Kiram continue with the namaz, quickly finish the namaz off, and they take Hazrat Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu back home. Hazrat Farooq Azam is bleeding severely and his eyes open, and he asks the question, have you prayed namaz? The Sahaba-i Kiram replies, yes, we have prayed namaz. He then says, my Fajr namaz is remaining, I must pray my Fajr namaz. He has been stabbed 6 times and he starts praying Fajr namaz, and he finishes Fajr namaz, and he says that what good is a Muslim if a Muslim does not pray namaz? What good is a Muslim if a Muslim turns away from Salat? And then he asks the question, who was the person that stabbed me? The Sahaba Ikram replies, it was an infidel. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I thank him that at least no Muslim will go into Jahannam because of the way that he has stabbed me. And then Hazrat Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu passes away from this world. But the last thing he says is the fact that what good is a Muslim if he does not pray namaz? Hazrat Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu was once praying namaz. And whilst he was in his garden praying namaz, he sees a bird flying past. His eyes suddenly are fixed on this bird and he is following the bird with his eyes. The bird is struggling to get out of the garden. Whilst he is doing this, he forgets how many rakats he has prayed. Therefore he performs sajda sahu. And then he goes up to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I was in my garden and I thought to myself, what good is that garden if it distracts me from namaz? Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I give that garden away in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For I do not want this garden to stop me from praying namaz or distracting me from praying namaz, because I want the garden of paradise. In the same way, during the time of Hazrat Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one Sahabi had the same situation. He was praying namaz in his garden and he looked towards his dates that were growing in his garden and he thinks to himself, what beautiful dates have grown in my garden. And then suddenly he forgets how many rakat he has prayed. Then, after he finishes praying that, praying namaz, performing sajda sahu, he goes to Hazrat Uthman Ghani and he says that I give my garden away, because if that garden distracts me from salat, then I do not want anything to do with it. Hazrat Uthman Ghani sells the garden for 50,000 dirhams and he gives all that money to the poor. The Sahaba Kiram, the first priority was salat. Today, it's our last priority. Today, if we have some spare time, we'll go and pray namaz. Otherwise, we won't pray namaz because our time is more important. May Allah protect us all. So we believe that our time is more important. The Creator who created us, who gave us life, who gave us a family, who gave us good food, who gave us drink, who gave us a luxurious life, and yet He's not just that, but the Creator has given you good health. Look at those people who are in the hospital. Ask them, ask a lame person, what is the one thing that you would desire most? He would say, I desire that I would have a leg. Ask a blind person, what is the most thing that you would desire most? The blind person would say, I would want my eyesight back. Or I would want my eyesight. If you said to that person, if you pray namaz 5 times a day, you'll gain your eyesight back, then that person, I guarantee you, would pray namaz not 5 times. He would pray 50 namaz times a day if he was to gain his eyesight back. But we take this for granted. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one of the biggest scholars of Islam within the Sahaba Kiram, during his later life, started to lose his eyesight. Then, after he lost his eyesight, the doctor said to him, the surgeon said to him, that I can operate on your eyes. However, you must not pray namaz, you must not perform sijda for 7 days. The reason, because it has strain on your eyes. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas says that I cannot do that. I cannot even go 1 day without performing sijda, because that is the worship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes the most. On the day of judgment, the thought of the earth that you have performed sajda on, that thought of the earth will give evidence. And that thought of the earth, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, every part of the earth prays every day that a person comes and performs sajda on that thought of the earth. Your own home, do you know what the walls of your house are praying? If in your house the men do not pray namaz in the masjid, then the walls of the masjid give bad dua, a bad dua to your house. The walls of the masjid say, Ya Allah, he has kept your house empty from your worship. Ya Allah, you keep his house empty from your blessings. You keep his house empty from your mercy. And that is why Hazrat Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, whom we remember so much, who is an eminent wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, states in his kitab that if a person does not pray namaz, then throw him into the infidel cemetery. Do not even bury him in the cemetery where Muslims belong, because he has no right to be buried in a Muslim cemetery. He has no right, she has no right to be buried in a Muslim cemetery if she does not perform salat. And yet, we perform Jami Sharif, we eat the food, but we do not even have any consideration of what Hazrat Ghawse Azam radiallahu ta'ala has taught us. Once a person came up to Hazrat Ghawse Azam and he says, Ya Ghawse Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, there is no blessing in my house. Hazrat Ghawse Pak inquired, why is that? Do you pray namaz? He says, yes, I pray namaz. I pray namaz. He says, where is your house? The person replies, my house is on the corner of a junction. Do you have a curtain on your house? The person replies, no, I don't have a curtain. Hazrat Ghawse Pak radiallahu ta'ala says, go back home, put a curtain over your house. The person goes back home, put a curtain over the front door of his house, and then 2 weeks later comes smiling back to Hazrat Ghawse Azam. And he says, Ya Ghawse Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, I have so much blessing in my house that how can I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this blessing? Hazrat Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, whom we perform the Qiyam al-Sharif, whom we remember so much, who is an eminent wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, states in his kitab that if a person does not pray namaz, then throw him into the infidel cemetery. Do not even bury him in the cemetery where Muslims belong, because he has no right to be buried in a Muslim cemetery. He has no right. She has no right to be buried in a Muslim cemetery if she does not perform salat. And yet, we perform Jarmi Sharif, we eat the food, but we do not even have any consideration of what Hazrat Ghawse Azam radiallahu ta'ala has taught us. Once a person came up to Hazrat Ghawse Azam and he says, Ya Ghawse Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, there is no blessing in my house. Hazrat Ghawse Pak inquired, why is that? Do you pray namaz? He says, yes, I pray namaz. I pray namaz. He says, where is your house? The person replies, my house is on the corner of a junction. Do you have a curtain on your house? The person replies, no, I don't have a curtain. Hazrat Ghawse Pak radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, go back home, put a curtain over your house. The person goes back home, put a curtain over the front door of his house, and then 2 weeks later comes smiling back to Hazrat Ghawse Azam. And he says, Ya Ghawse Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, I have so much blessing in my house that how can I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this blessing? But tell me, what was the reason? Nothing has changed. The only thing that has changed is that I have a curtain over the doorway. What is the difference? What is the reason behind this? Hazrat Ghawse Azam radiallahu ta'ala replies, the reason why the blessing was not in your house is that when a non-namazi used to walk past, when they used to look inside your house, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lifted the blessings away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lifted the mercies away from your house. Now tell me, if a non-namazi looks into that house, Allah lifts the blessings away. What about those people, those houses, who has a non-namazi living in it? How can they have mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The biggest and the most important deed in Islam after Iman is Namaz. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that imagine Islam as a canopy, as a big tent, and the middle pole there is your Iman. And the four poles at the side are the poles, the pillars. The four pillars at the side are Namaz, Zakat, Roza and Hajj. If you were to knock one pillar down, then the whole canopy would fall. In the same way, if you were not to pray Namaz, then whole your Islam will fall. Hold your Iman will fall. And that is why in one hadith the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Man taraka as-salata muta'ammidan faqad kafar. Those who deliberately miss namaz are infidel. It is thankfully to Hazrat Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who says that the hadith, he interprets this hadith in the sense that the hadith means that there is no difference between a Muslim and a non-Muslim. If you look at a non-Muslim and the time for Fajr comes, the non-Muslim will be slept in his bed. The non-Muslim will be slept in her bed. But a Muslim will wake up, will think, I will sacrifice my sleep for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will get up, I will perform wudu, and I will pray namaz, and I will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then if she so desires, she will go back to sleep. A Muslim, that is the difference. However, have we left any difference today? Look at the people. Look at the Muslim people in this community. Look at the Muslim people in this country. Look at the Muslim people in this continent. And you will know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already punished some of the Muslim people. And yet we still do not learn. We still do not learn. For when there are no namazis present in a community, then Allah sends His punishment towards them. And that is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that there will be four types of people on the day of judgment who will not pray namaz, and their punishment will be different. The people who miss namaz because of their status, because of their kingdom, because of their position, will be lifted on the day of judgment with Firaun, the enemy of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. The people who used to miss namaz because of their money will be lifted with Karun, the enemy of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. The other people who used to miss their namaz due to their business will be lifted with Umayyah bin Khalf, who is the enemy of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Umayyah bin Khalf used to take a horse, and he used to feed the horse, and when he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to say, I am making this horse healthy so that I can sit on it, and then when I sit on it in a battle, I will come and kill you. However, do you want to be lifted with that person? The third, fourth person will be Haman, another enemy of Islam. You think about it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of judgment will be stood with Liwa'il Hams, the flag of Islam. And around him will be the Sahaba-i-Kiram, and around them will be the Awliya-i-Kiram, and around them will be the Ummati of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Where will we be? Will we be lifted with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or will we be with Firaun, the enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Those people who will be with the enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their judgment will be with that person on the day of judgment. However, We forget because we have a little bit of luxury. We forget the importance of Salah. We forget. That is why the Sharia law says that those, the four Imams, Hazrat Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, Hazrat Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Hazrat Imam Malik, and Hazrat Imam Shafi'i. The four Imams say, Imam Shafi'i, Imam Malik, and Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal say that if a person deliberately misses namaz, then execute that person if it is an Islamic state. That person has no right to live in this world. Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, whom we follow, says that if a person deliberately misses namaz, then throw him into prison. Throw that person into jail, and until that person repents, doesn't matter how long it takes, until that person performs repentance, and then that person regularly performs salat, then that person will be called back out. My dear sisters of Islam, namaz is one of the most beauties of Islam. A Muslim's recognition, a Muslim's status is in namaz. When a person says Allahu Akbar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all her sins. When a person says A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him the same reward as a person performing Hajj Baitullah. When a person performs Sana, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives that person the same reward, as 4,000 rewards. We are giving all this reward away for the sake of 10 or 15 minutes of our time. But not just the reward, what about the punishment? Allah Hazrat Imam Ahle Sunnah says that during the time of the Sahaba-i Kiram, if a person used to deliberately miss namaz, then that person was regarded as an infidel by the Sahaba-i Kiram. They did not say that that person is a Muslim. For how can a Muslim not pray namaz? How can a Muslim not pray salat? That was the time of the Sahaba-i Kiram, during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And yet today we see that the majority of the Muslims are not praying namaz. Alhamdulillah, within our community there are people who are trying to call our brothers to pray namaz, who are trying to bring our brothers to the masjid. Our brothers are turning them down. Our sisters are paying no attention. However, I request those sisters that if you start praying namaz, then inshaAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you so much blessing in your household that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will therefore make your family members also pray namaz. Why? Because namaz is such a beautiful act that, let me tell you how namaz protects you. Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam, in other words Noah, his ark that was built, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the instructions that bring every person who follows you, O Nuh, into your ark. And those people who do not follow you, leave them outside. In other words, bring one pair of each animal. Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam was therefore gathering the people and he saw an old woman praying namaz. And he said to her that I will come back. She says, come back and collect me. He says, I will come back and collect you. And then he goes into his ship, and then after the ship has gone into a storm and everything has been destroyed, even the holy Kaaba was destroyed at the time. Then he remembers this old woman and he wonders what has happened to the old woman. Therefore, when the storm has finished, he goes back to the house and he sees the house is there and the woman is still praying namaz. He says, what are you doing? She says, has the time come that you have come to collect me? He says, the time has not come to collect you, but the storm has completely come and gone past. She does not realize, because namaz has protected her. My dear sisters of Islam, when a person prays namaz, shaitan is so upset, he cries. The enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cries. But when a person does not pray namaz, he smiles. So that Imam Ghazali radiallahu ta'ala anhu states a hadith. He says that during the time of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, people could see shaitan. And people used to talk to shaitan. A pious person was living, and that pious person once asked shaitan a question. He says, what pleases you the most? Shaitan replies, those people who perform shirk, partnership with Allah, and those people who do not pray namaz pleases me the most. Because I know, I am guaranteed that that person will go into Jahannam. That person says, I thank you for your advice. Therefore, I will make sure that I will never miss namaz. I will make sure that I will never perform shirk. The shaitan replies that I will now make sure that I never give any advice anymore. Why? Because that person was protected from the shaitan. My dear sisters of Islam, namaz is the key of Jannah. It's the best deed of all. No deed is better than namaz. You may sacrifice as much as you want. You may sacrifice Your money, alhamdulillah, may Allah accept it. However, if you do not pray namaz, then all that is put to one side. Because if you do not pray namaz, it means that you do not give importance to the farz, the obligation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, how can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your voluntary prayer? When the night of Shab-e Barat comes, or when the night of Shab-e Qadr comes, everybody is on the masallah, everybody starts praying namaz, alhamdulillah. And so they should be. However, when the morning comes after, they sleep over it and they don't pray the namaz the next day. What good is that namaz? Well, how can you get overtime when you do not do your standard time? Therefore, how can a person gain the mercy of Allah and gain the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without performing the farz act? Therefore, my dear sisters of Islam, tell me, how was namaz made for us? Why? I told you before about the relevant rewards. However, what is significant of each namaz? The first namaz was prayed by Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. When Hazrat Adam alayhi salam came out of Jannah into this world, it was night time. And then the daytime came and he thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the daytime, and therefore he prayed two rakat namaz first. Why? Because there was no night time in Jannah. There was only light. He saw dark and then he saw light, he thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Zohar namaz was prayed by Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam when he cut the throat of Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaced it with a lamb. He thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and prayed four rakat namaz Zohar. The Asr namaz was prayed by Hazrat Uzair alayhi salam. Another Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he passed away, and after 100 years he came back to life again. And when he came back to life again, he thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Maghrib namaz was prayed by Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam after his repentance was accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He made the intention to pray four rakat namaz, but by mistake he performed salam in three rakat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala liked this. And the Isha namaz was prayed by our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that is why Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala states that I used to see the feet of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam swollen, completely swollen, for he had been standing all night worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in namaz. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala was once asked a question. A sahabi says, what was one of the best acts of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? She says, every act was the best act of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, what act surprised you the most? She says that the act that really surprises me is the fact that one day the Prophet ﷺ was sleeping, and then he got up, washed his face, and then went to start praying namaz. He prayed namaz. In the first rakat, he prayed approximately 4 sifaras. 4 sifaras in the first rakat. His ruku lasted just as long. Each sizda lasted just as long as praying 4 sifaras. And then, as soon as he performed salam, Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala called the azan for Fajr prayer. She said, I asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O beloved messenger of Allah, you are masoom, you are immune from sin. Why are you praying namaz? Why are you praying so much namaz? He replied that, should I not thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the status that he has given me? The Prophet is thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Sahaba kiram, let me tell you, during the battles, the ghazwas, the jihad, they used to go into jihad and they used to be fighting for days. However, when the time for namaz came, they used to split into two groups. One group used to come and pray namaz. The other group was fighting. When the other group went back into the battlefield, the group that was fighting comes back and prays namaz. Therefore, even in the battlefield, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not forgive namaz. Did not say that all the Sahaba of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are fighting for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, surely in this occasion I will forgive the namaz. However, that was not forgiven. And therefore, that goes to prove that the namaz is so important that you cannot even leave it in the jihad. And that is why the ulama kiram say that if you are traveling on a ship, the ship shipwrecked, and you only had a small plank of wood to lean on, if you can, and the time for namaz comes, get on that plank of wood and pray namaz. If you are drowning, and you feel that you may be able to save yourself because you know how to swim, and the time for namaz comes, then you should pray namaz in your action. Because if you don't pray namaz and you drown, then even that namaz will be accounted for on the day of judgment. Even that namaz, if you are drowning, we are not drowning today. Why? Because we are sat at home. Or get some guests come around and you forget namaz. The time comes that it's a wedding and you totally forget namaz. No person, not one woman is really concerned about namaz during the wedding. The bride who is getting married is not concerned. The bride's mother is not concerned. Her relatives are not concerned. Tell me, how can Allah bless you? Tell me, Eid is the festival of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a gift to all Muslims. Eid. Therefore I ask the question, surely on Eid day, because it's such a good day, Allah would have reduced the namaz. However, Allah does not reduce the namaz, He increases one more namaz. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prays one more namaz to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving that day to us. Therefore, to pray namaz is to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the life that He has given us. If you do not pray namaz, how do you expect your children to learn about namaz? Children have a tendency to act what the parents do. Therefore, may Allah forgive us. But some parents are so pleased when they see their children singing. They say, oh, look at my child, look how nice he dances, or she dances. May Allah forgive us. However, if you pray namaz, your child will come to your side and he will copy, or he will copy your namaz. Inshallah, when they grow up, the Prophet ﷺ had, the Prophet ﷺ used to respect children. He used to perform salam with the children. However, the Huzur ﷺ once was with a group of Sahaba, and one Sahabi was calling his child who was playing with other children. The Prophet ﷺ said, don't call your child. Then he calls the child again. The Prophet ﷺ stops the Sahabi again. The third time he calls his child, the Prophet ﷺ stops the Sahabi the third time. Then the Sahabi inquires, Ya Rasulullah, it is my child. I just want to call my child. Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that your child is playing with some orphan. And the if your child comes running to you, the father, the orphan will feel in their heart that if my father was here today, I could have run to my father. Therefore, I feel sorry for that orphan. Therefore, please do not call your child. And yet, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that when the time comes that your child gets to the age of 7, teach them namaz. When the time comes that that child gets to the age of 10, then force them to pray namaz, beat them to pray namaz. Beat them slightly to pray namaz, because that is what will save them, and that is what will save you on the day of judgment. However, let me tell you one thing. I have given this example before. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created many, many creations. But the most dirtiest creation of all is the pig. Because if an animal is killed, if a tiger's meat is haram. However, the skin can be used to make a coat out of, and that will be halal. You can wear a tiger skin coat or whatever. However, you cannot wear a pig skin. Even if you wash the pig skin a million times, that skin will remain nafat. In the same way as a person wants to wash urine. If a person washes urine will still remain napak, it will make everything else napak. In the same way, a hair of a pig will make a whole bowl of water napak. However, I ask the question, why was a pig created? If it's so napak, why was it created? The answer is, the reason why a pig was created was because if a Muslim goes into a shop and he abstains from a pig, he abstains from pork meat, then Allah will reward that Muslim. Allah will just, when a Muslim says, I don't want to eat pork, Allah will give you the reward. Why? Because you hate that meat because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes it. However, the pig prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also. And he says, Ya Allah, I know I am unclean. I know I am nafat. I know I am a disgusting creature. However, Ya Allah, please do not make me like a non-namazi. Because I am unclean, I am nafat. However, I am not like a non-namazi. In the same way, a group of ulama went to a shop, and the ulama says, come please, come to namaz. Calls the shopkeeper to namaz. The shopkeeper says, I am busy. Says, what, I think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The shopkeeper says, I am very busy. My trade is booming, I am busy. The people go and pray namaz, they come back. And this alim, Buzruk, starts smelling the clothes in his shop, the items in his shop. And then he starts smelling the person's own clothes, the shopkeeper's clothes. The shopkeeper says to him, why are you smelling me? The alim says, I was wondering whether it would stink of toilet. He says, why is that? I am clean. He says, yes, I was wondering whether you had time to go to the toilet. When it was necessary for you to go to the toilet, you have time to go to the toilet. And yet when it is necessary to pray namaz, you don't have time to pray namaz. That person was asked for forgiveness. Therefore, let me tell you, Hazrat Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu was once asked by a woman. A woman was carrying some oil and she tripped and she spilled the oil. She goes up to Amir al-Mu'mineen, who was the ruler at the time, and she says to him, "I want my oil back." Hazrat Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that I will get some more oil for you. She says, "No, I want that oil back that has spilled on the ground." Hazrat Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, "Fair enough." He writes something on a small piece of paper and he gives it to that woman. And he says, "Put this piece of paper, bury this piece of paper where you have spilled the oil." She buries it in the where she has spilled the oil, and the oil comes back up from the ground. She gathers all the oil into a container again. She goes back to Amir al-Mu'mineen and she says, "Ya Farooq Azam, what did you write on that piece of paper?" He says, "What I wrote on that piece of paper was that, O ground, give the oil back to this woman. Because if you do not give the oil back to this woman, then I will use you and I will bury a non-namazi in your place. I will bury a non-namazi on that piece of ground." The ground did not want the non-namazi there. The ground did not want a person who does not pray namaz. Some hadith, some scholars say that if a beggar comes to your door and that beggar does not pray namaz, then do not give him any money. Why? Because if he is not obeying the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what right has he got to live in this world? What right has that person got to live in this world? My dear sisters of Islam, let me tell you, the biggest mercy, the biggest blessing of all is the blessing of namaz. Please do not miss namaz. Whatever happens, Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked the question that what is the worst sin of all? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, do not perform shirk. Do not associate anyone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if you have to be ripped apart. Then the sahabi says, what is the second biggest sin of all? He says that do not drink alcohol, because that is the mother of all sins. He then says, what is the third worst sin of all? He says, whatever happens, do not miss namaz. And that is one of the last words the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says before he passed away from this world. He says that please do not miss your namaz and be kind to your female servant. Tell me, if we have love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, "Qurratu'aini fi salat, namaz is the coolness of my eyes." When a person prays namaz, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam feels coolness in his eyes. And yet the ummati prays no namaz. Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that my shafa'at will be haram for those people. So on the day of judgment, when we will be in a deplorable situation, when we will be trying to look for good deeds, when we will be trying to brush off our sins, what will happen to a person who has not prayed namaz? What will happen to a person who used to deliberately miss their namaz? My dear sisters of Islam, if nothing whatsoever, inna salata tanha anil fahshai wal munkar, namaz stops people from bad deeds and deplorable acts. Why? Because when a person comes to the masjid, he prays namaz, he goes back home. He comes to the masjid, he prays namaz, and then he gets to be a regular namazi. Or a person at home gets to be a regular namazi. And then that person thinks to herself, why should I perform that sin? Why should I perform that sin? And therefore, completely void my namaz, I will not perform that sin. I will continue. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects that person from sin. I will tell you one final story before I finish my speech. And that is, during the time of the Bani Israel, there was a person who fell in love with this woman. He fell in love with this woman, and that woman was a very pious woman. And not was she only pious, but she was also married. She told her husband about what this person had written to her. The husband was also an alim and was a pious person. He says to the wife, he says, "You write back to that person and tell him that he must pray namaz for 40 days with jama'at 5 times a day before you do anything." She writes back to him. This person, with the love for this woman, goes to the masjid and thinks to himself, "This is easy. I will pray namaz 5 times a day for 4 days, and then I will have my desire fulfilled." He goes to masjid and then he continues to pray namaz. And after 40 days, this person writes back to this woman. He says that I ask for your forgiveness because I had fell in love with you, but now I am in love with something more. I am in love with my namaz. I am in love with my salat. And that she tells her husband. The husband smiles and he says, "Inna salata tanha." Of course, namaz stops you from all bad acts and all deplorable acts. My dear sisters of Islam, if you want your children to become pious, if you yourself want to become pious, if you want your husband, if you want your brothers, if you want your family to abstain from sin, look at our children today, look at our youngsters today. They are going out there and the kuffar are calling them towards them, giving them supplies of drugs. Tell them they are going away from Islam. Why? Because they are not coming towards the masjid, or the woman is not going towards the prayer namaz. Even the time comes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the whole earth the masjid. When the time comes, you are on a journey, namaz is not forgiven. You are on a journey, you stop at a service station and you pray your namaz. Because namaz has got to be your utmost priority. People go and perform hajj. People go and perform umrah. Alhamdulillah, may Allah accept their deeds. However, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that if you miss namaz, then none of your deeds are accepted. None of your farz deeds are accepted. None of your wajib deeds are accepted. None of your sunnah deeds are accepted. Why? Because when a person goes and prays hajj baytullah, then that is one farz. What about the regular 5 times a day farz that he has missed? What about that first? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not show his mercy upon them. My dear sisters of Islam, please may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us all to pray namaz in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to pray namaz, and therefore perform the coolness of the eyes of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
For more details on other tapes, please contact 0781 75 88130. That's 0781 75 88130. Or email us taiba78692@hotmail.com. That's taiba TAIBA 78692@hotmail.com. Other tapes by Sidi Muhammad Salib include Day of Judgment, Punishment of Hell, Importance of Salah, Love of the Prophet, Repentance, Importance of Knowledge, Women in Islam, Fear of Allah, Respect of Parents, Muslim's Character, Propagating Islam, and Drugs. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.